see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
He loves how fearless Hannah Ann was on the jet ski. It's one of those moments where I was like, we're living life.
This line.
Sometimes I miss these lines, and this is why I listen to this podcast, because the subtle nuances you guys pick up on so good.
That's the quote I wrote down. I was
she lives life like me.
It's one of those moments where I was like, we're living life. It, like, the more you say it, the crazier it sounds. Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Lee Blickley.
Good day, Sheilas. Now, I don't want to give you an ultimatum or anything, Lee. Like, that's just not, like, it's not what's on my heart right now. But I might have to walk out of this podcast studio if you don't speak in a horrific Australian accent with me.
Oh my God, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that, Emma. I'm going to have to pass, but good day, Sheilas.
Now that we've gotten that off of our chests, gotten it out there. The only thing I can actually say in an Australian accent is disaster artist.
I said all I can say is razor blades.
But here to join us on this beautiful Australian journey is Darren Karp, host of People TV's Reality Check and Andy Cohen's assistant and longtime friend of the pod now.
Oh, yeah. And lived in Australia for 9 months. So I feel like ultra qualified to be on this particular
podcast.
You could
teach us.
Yeah, what's your favorite phrase?
Well, I was telling you a little bit when I studied abroad there. Australians called Americans, at least during this time, SEPOs for septic tanks because we're full of shit. So,
okay, you know what?
We can take it. I took it. I was like, yeah, you're damn right I'm a SEPO. But I do like saying razor blades is kind of fun.
That's a good one. Maybe I'll add that to my arsenal.
I think it's supposed to be like rise up lights, but when you say it, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Rise up lights.
Oh, I like,
because my best friend's husband is Australian, but that's the only phrase he taught us. And then we were like, okay, and then how do we say anything else?
You don't need that.
But it helps you get the idea.
Yeah. No, I briefly dated an Australian dude, and that's the only thing I took away from that relationship is disaster artist.
Disaster artist. That's the only thing we're going to be using today. We have to fit one of those sayings in it.
Okay, so we pick up on this episode. They're still at the airplane hangar from last week.
Like, we get it. You know what I mean?
Well, he's a pilot?
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like, plane in the sky, dusk, airplane hangar. I'm like, yeah, we're like at the end. I'm upset that we're still doing this.
We get it.
Maddie pulls Peter aside, which we kind of saw teased last week.
Mm-hmm.
And proceeds to have a really confusing conversation with him. And I want to note that most of what we heard, which was quite eloquent, was said to the camera in voiceover and not actually to Peter.
Correct.
Yes. So she kind of, you know, says that she doesn't think Peter knows how much she's struggling and her faith is literally everything to her. And she's decided, you know, made the choice when she was younger to not have sex before marriage. Of course, she does not say the word sex, because how could you on this show?
No.
So taboo. And she really needs like clarity and peace of mind with Peter to move forward. But what she says to him is not quite this.
Not
she
at all.
Sort of dances around it and says, if he was to sleep with somebody else, then it would be hard for her. And she wants to be honest about that. What are your thoughts? Like, well, did she need to be more explicit here?
Yeah, because he was even more confused by what she said because he just didn't understand what she was like. What is
he had like nine
what are
follow-ups.
Your expectations? Like, I'm confused.
Well, yeah, and like kind of no shit. Like, I wouldn't want to think about my girlfriend or boyfriend who's dating whatever sleeping with anyone else. That doesn't make me feel good at. But at being said, like, you're on, like, the 30th some odd season of a show. Like, you kind of know that this is going to go down.
This is the formula. This is the conceit of the show.
Mm-hmm. This is the setup. You always reach this moment. And
every season we reach this
moment. Every season. Yeah. And it's so hard to get into. Because what I think was missing from this conversation, at least from what we saw, is that she didn't say to Peter, there are certain expectations I've had from the person I'm going to marry that are in line with my faith.
Right. Yeah.
And this is one of them. Yeah. And so, like, we need to have a serious conversation right now about whether that's something that fits with you.
Yeah.
I think what she wanted was, and understandably probably what anyone wants, is just, like, you're going to pick me and you're just, without us talking about it, you're just not going to sleep with other people.
Of course. Yeah.
And I know that there have been leads in the past who made a really conscious choice because they knew who they wanted to pick. And, like, Nick Vial has talked about this, you know, making a conscious choice to protect that relationship by saving certain things, like not crossing certain lines in the fantasy suite with the other two people. Yeah. Peter's not in that headspace.
No, Peter was like, nah, that's not my thing.
I think Madison's first, though.
Absolutely.
Like, by far.
But
I
agree.
I think
it was a tactical. We'll get into this later, but I think everyone made some tactical errors.
He didn't really understand, though, because she never flat out told him, I'm a virgin. This is what I believe. So he was kind of like, oh, so you don't want me to sleep with the other women
because
it makes you feel uncomfortable.
Right.
But she was also like, no, because, like, this is what I believe. This is why I've decided to be a virgin. This is what I need for you to maybe just reassure me that I am maybe your number one.
But
she never said that.
I mean, let's not forget that the season started off with, like, the windmill joke, like, four times in a windmill being used, million times?
So you know who Peter is.
I was a little upset with Madison because it's kind of like, well, if this is your qualification, if this is the thing, and
no judgment at all, then
you need to bring it up before you get that rose because that might not be a deal breaker for him, and then he can bring in other people. Like, not that I was the biggest fan of Kelsey, but maybe she would have had a better chance if he knew Madison's ultimatum, which I'm using in air quotes because it's yet to be believed whether or not it's an ultimatum. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like the wrong time. Like, I got the rose and now you can't do this.
I should tell him.
Right.
Yeah, she hadn't told him any of this stuff.
Not at all.
I think it would have been ideal if these conversations came up sooner.
Earlier.
And
were at least given 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And more explicit. Like, perhaps at least during hometowns, if she'd asked for extra time or... I don't know. And I understand from her perspective, if you're not going to make it to a certain point, you might want to keep certain information not from the, like, national television sphere. And so I think probably what ended up happening is that things sort of got ahead of both of them and suddenly they ended up in a position that was, like, pretty bad. But I do think it was clear. It's been clear that physical intimacy is really important to Peter and sex is important to him. And that's also okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And perhaps we've just found two people who are a mismatch.
They are.
At least at the timing of their lives.
Yeah. Yes.
But keep in mind, you know, she's 23. Like, she's 23, which is also pretty young. And she's never had sex with anybody, which also makes you this other layer of being really young and not knowing whether or not it's a big deal or not, or whether or not it's good, or all the implications that come with it. So they're just at two different points, and you could just see Peter, he wants to pick her so bad.
Oh, right. Yeah, but then mixing into the religion aspect of it, where they're just not in line on that either. So it's hard to watch two people who clearly really like each other, but they both are now seeing that they're not a good fit. So that's even, I don't know, it was hard to watch last night.
We'll get to it, but... Is he religious?
No.
I'm using air quotes under, is he Christian?
He says he's Christian.
He has some relationship to a Christian faith. I do not know what denomination.
But not Maddie's level.
He's clearly not like an hardcore evangelical.
Like, she wants a faith leader for the family. That's not Peter.
Right.
Even though he says he could do it because he loves her so much, it's just like, I don't think he understands how much that means to her and her family.
Right.
Like, that's their whole dynamic.
And she hasn't, until the end of the episode, she doesn't quite spell it out, I think, in the terms that she needed to. Mm-hmm. So they have this kind of vague conversation. I mean, she does say, I would be upset by this, but they kind of paper over it, leave it there. He's like, but you know how crazy I am about you, so I guess it's fine. And it's fine. And then they're off to Australia. And we see, again, Peter has a terrible Australian accent. But
and the tiniest little bathing suit.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, when in Australia.
I mean, I go for it. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, my God. Like,
Carrie Fettman, the stylist, just out here being like, how tiny can I get those shorts?
Look at those legs.
Yeah,
right.
Good legs.
I mean, he's a good-looking guy. Yeah. I'm not going to knock him. Like, he's a good-looking guy.
He's a very sweet-faced, handsome man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Madison is clearly dreading this week.
Verklempt.
Peter is a little bit nervous, but he kind of decides to put it aside. He wants to give all three relationships a chance. And we got to talk about the living arrangements, which are a real change.
Yes. I've never seen... Have we seen this
before?
No, this
has never happened.
Mm-hmm. They're always separated.
Because it's cruel to do this.
Yeah. It's definitely like...
And they definitely can't blame it on budget. They decided very much so to put these women together because Madison's a virgin and it would just...
Drum up
unravel
all this.
Her.
I know, but seeing like the other girlfriend right after they've just
woke
up from a moment.
It's cruel.
Like, it's cruel.
It's
cruel.
So I feel genuinely bad. Like
me too.
One would want it. And even though you're going on a reality show and all that stuff, I'm like, ugh. And they're really throwing it in their faces this season.
Especially because for every other season, and this is the 24th season, they've been separated.
Yeah. Right.
You haven't really, you know something's going on, but you don't have to see the person. You don't know the exact order it's in. You have some time to yourself. This is torture.
And yeah, like, it is. It is torture.
Also, we wanted to be past the drama a little bit, but this season, they're just like, where else can we throw it in? Let's put these ladies together.
Yeah, it feels like they have so much anxiety about how interesting Peter is.
Yeah, that they need to like up their game. They feel like they
really
need to up
leaning.
The game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they kind of have to. I mean, like, it does add an extra layer. I don't think the episode would have been as interesting if they were separated.
Oh, no. Oh, I agree. Yeah.
As
I
a
think
viewer.
It's good TV.
Yeah, it's great TV as a viewer. But I did feel bad for the women.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria says what everyone's thinking. She's like, apparently all of us will be living together during Fantasy Suite Week. Are you kidding me? Awkward. So awkward.
You got her voice down.
Yeah, it's actually not bad. Like, her affect was, like, actually correct.
Her monotone.
I was like, I'm with you.
Yeah.
The way they shot that confessional looked different, too. Like, for some reason, like, I don't know why, like, the visual of it didn't seem like a normal Bachelor confessional.
Yeah,
it was weird. It was very weird. They're bringing in a lot of odd things.
Yeah. So the women make awkward small talk, and then Peter arrives and is like, Hannah Ann, let's go on our sex date.
Time to have sex.
That's a direct quote.
That's a direct quote. I'm a journalist, guys.
So Hannah Ann's up first. But first, when they get on their date, Pete, of course, says, we must speak in Australian accents all day.
It lasts for one sentence.
Yeah. And I'm like, please. Let's give this up. And he does, thankfully.
They go jet skiing. This date actually looked really fun.
It looked like the best date of all of them.
It looked like the best date.
It looked really, really cool.
Yeah, they're jet skiing. Of course, they have to ditch one of the jet skis at some point so they can combine and make out on a jet ski.
It's perfect.
Like, what are you doing if you're not making out on a jet ski on The Bachelor?
Yeah, right, exactly.
And Hannah Ann says, hopefully it's a long day and a long night.
Yeah.
Hope he's ready. Like, there's one thing these two are after.
I hope it's a long night.
Respect it. They know what they want. They know what they need for the next step in their relationship.
Well, to be fair, though, just like to take ourselves out of it, I do think there's something nice about Hannah Ann and Victoria sort of gaining this confidence of it being like, all right, well, yeah, he's going to sleep with these other women, but like, I'll show him the best night of his life. Like, I kind of think that's female empowerment at its finest, and I love it.
I loved it, too.
Yeah.
They both knew what they
Even
wanted.
Even though she's like a fetus. Yeah. Tiny. And he's so young. I can't handle it.
They're all young.
Victoria's at least 26.
She's 26.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
a little
basically
better.
A grandmother. But exactly. So three years of life experience is 3 years of life experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. He loves how fearless Hannah Ann was on the jet ski. It's one of those moments where I was like, we're living life.
This line.
Sometimes I miss these lines, and this is why I listen to this podcast, because the subtle nuances you guys pick up on so good.
That's the quote phrase I wrote down. I was
she
like,
lives life like me.
It's one of those moments where I was like, we're living life. It's like the more you say it, the crazier it sounds.
And you were like, I clearly have never lived life.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, wow.
I have not rode a jet ski in Gold Coast, Australia.
And made out on one, let alone.
Like, I have not had a fantasy suite date. I am not living life.
You haven't had a long night, a long day and long
This show
night.
Is just filled with so many platitudes, and I can't believe we've gotten this far into the season. And someone like Hannah Ann, she seems perfectly lovely, but I know nothing about her. I have no sense of her personality, really.
Nope.
No sense of it exists.
Home life, like, nothing.
Like a vague sense of her home life. They on the first episode, they said she paints, but I don't know
anything
really about her substantive, and it's unfortunate.
Because our first episode of the season, we mentioned how Anna Ann looks like she's like manufactured in a bachelor factory.
Totally. I mean, like, she's like the perfect model.
Perfect,
yeah.
But
she's Hannah G 2.0.
That's all I see, though. I don't know anything about her. And even during
she
this conversation.
Yeah. She loves to live. And also, she is the most agreeable person.
That's like, what I was going to say. Oh. The first thing she does is sit down with him and say, how are you, Peter? How is this for you? I know it's super, super difficult for you.
Right.
And I was like, who cares what he's up to? Like, just talk about your relationship. Why are you so worried about how Peter is? Well, because she wants to, like, again, validate him. She knows what he needs.
Totally.
Which is for her to be, like Emma said, agreeable.
Yeah. I think the first taste I got of that was after the 3-on-1 date when, like, he saves, like, Hannah and he puts Kelly, like, in the dust. And she, like, weeps openly. Yeah. I'm like, why? You got sick. Like, why are you weeping? And she's just like, it's just such a traumatic time for him. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
It's nice that she's worried about him, but I'm also like,
it's too much empathy.
Yeah, it's a lot. She's people pleasing, and so is
it's
he.
It's empathy at the cost of really digging into what tensions or challenges might exist in their relationship.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think it's a very kind thing to be like, whatever you need is fine. But the truth is, if this doesn't work out, like, she's not gonna necessarily be fine.
No.
Right. And that's also okay.
He's old enough to know better, and he should be digging deeper.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is he feels so, I think, unsteady with the other two relationships that he is really leaning on Hannah Ann for just pure, unadulterated affirmation.
And ease. Yeah. Totally.
Because she's like, I'm like, all of this overrides any fear I have. I don't want to have any regrets. So, she's making it easier for him.
Right.
And then they're like, let's just make out horizontally. Yeah. We'll make out vertically.
Just what Peter loves.
Love a beach make out on the sand, which is never practical, but looks cool.
Yeah.
Looks very
lots
cool.
Of sand.
Like, lots of sand in places you don't want sand after that.
Right. I don't want my hair to be, like, I'm good.
No.
I'm good.
And then, of course, we go back to the apartment and we see Victoria and Madison
being forced to chat.
Yeah,
awkwardly.
We got this a lot this episode, of course, because we need to know what the other women are thinking and talking about.
I thought this was so annoying. Usually we get, you know, the fantasy dates kind of uninterrupted, and instead we had to keep going back to the hotel or apartment, whatever, and they're just having the same conversations.
Yeah.
Until Madison gets into it with Hannah Ann, which was actually compelling, but mostly they're just like, wow, this is a hard week.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time.
This is weird.
This is difficult.
Yeah, he's spending time. Like, we get it. It's awkward.
It's also the entire span of their 24-hour date is the other two ladies just seem to be only on the couch. Mm-hmm. Like they don't show any other rooms outside Madison, like,
are
pacing.
Are they all sleeping
They're
there?
Just, like, on the couch for 8 hours. I'm like, what?
In the same outfit.
Do they eat? I'm confused by the architecture.
Right. Have they gone to the bathroom once? Like, I'm very confused by the entire arrangement, but it's cruel nonetheless, and they clearly have absolutely nothing to talk about.
Nope.
No, because the producers also force them to have these, like, what they call girl chats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And so they're clearly being told, talk about how the date's going, but it's just totally painful. So
they don't want
if you do this
it.
Again, right. Bachelor producers, like, please don't do this part. It was not good television. Night portion of the date. Hannah Ann, I am not really usually on board with her fashion. This dress was
great
good.
Dress,
it's good.
This dress was good. Like, a nice floral number with this, like, high
wrap
around neck.
High
it was really cool.
Classy.
Yeah, a so good pretty. Pattern, bright colors.
My favorite outfit so far, though, has been Madison's jumpsuit.
Oh,
that
oh
she
my
wore.
God.
It was the best.
So
it was I was so happy a girl wore pants. Yeah. I was like, thank you.
Madison has worn a few really good jumpsuits.
She's smart. I stand it.
I liked all her outfits.
Yeah, Madison's style, I
was there for.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Hannah Ann had a good outfit there.
They sit down and talk about nothing at their dinner. you know, when she lets someone in, she's all in. Like, they literally, these two people just only speak in platitudes.
Yeah. Correct.
Like, I know how I feel about you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah. They just go back and forth.
They're just speaking like in Confucius statements.
Right.
You know, fall down 7 times, stand up 8. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, yeah, totally.
Like, yeah, wow, that's so
meaningful.
Deep.
Yeah.
We just know how to live life in the same way because, like, we live life. Life is being lived.
And she just loves living.
Yeah.
She loves living, and they love each other.
Right. That's a basis for a relationship right there.
Oh, God. Yeah, they love to reassure each other. So,
yeah,
of course.
She's so devoted to him. She has to tell him that.
Of course.
He's crazy. About her,
he says that about like 7
so
people.
Boring.
Like, I'm done.
It's just
like,
so boring. They're a boring
they're
couple.
So boring.
Yeah. They seem lovely, but they're boring.
Yes.
So of course Peter breaks out the fantasy suite date card. She's on board. He's on board. They go to a very luxe penthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Not like especially beautiful or charming.
Yeah. I didn't think it was so romantic, but
I mean, it was nice. It was just a nice big hotel room with a hot tub.
Yeah. And she was like, we have this all to ourselves.
Like, this is how it works.
Yeah. I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, 24th season.
Chris Harrison.
Yes, correct.
I mean, look, compared to the first season that we, you know, when we were rewatching, like, the fantasy suites were just like...
It was like four flower petals
rough.
On like
it was,
a twin
it
bed.
It was like a double tree in Times Square.
A holiday
with like
inn,
a plastic sheet and strawberries. Like,
that's my Valentine's Day.
Some champagne. But some Corbel.
No shade.
Guys, spending Valentine's Day in Times Square just really disturbs me. I was around. This is such a tangent. But
I
was in Mexico. I was in Mexico. But... I was in Times Square recently seeing a Broadway show, and I passed by, and it was like Bubba Gump's Valentine's Day special, and I was like, no.
Unlimited shrimp.
Not for nothing, but my girlfriend and I do that every year. We've eaten at Applebee's, Olive Garden, the Dos Caminos, and this year we did Melting Pot.
Okay, Dos Caminos is good.
But in Times Square. In Times Square. Like,
wait,
think
do you wear the best out? Do you really go for it?
Oh, like, we do the whole thing. We've done Red Lobster. Like, we do the whole thing because we're like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this.
You got to go for it.
Right.
I love it. Unlimited margaritas.
I like it,
unlimited shrimp, girl. That's
like
what
it
we
ironically.
Go with. Yeah, it's ironically. It's an ironic
thing. If there was a Chili's in Times Square, I would for sure.
We almost did it. We did Melting Pot in Pittsburgh this year, which was.
Wait, I
beautiful.
Love this.
Beautiful. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, man, I haven't been to the Melting Pot in many years.
It was awesome.
Okay, so sorry. I totally did that. I digressed. But
yes.
Getting back to it.
They cheers to waking up to you tomorrow morning. But then we get the most epic, like, hand-on, see-through bathroom door.
I loved this so
Rose
much.
And Titanic
2020.
Style.
Yes.
Guys,
all I needed was a sweat wipe, and I was...
just utter production brilliance.
It was great. We're not even sure if it was them. That could have easily been two producers. Like, I want to be the stand-in of, like, the steamy makeout. Like, I'll be like, yeah, I'll hand in the door, like, hands up like that. That would have been awesome.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Great. Brilliant.
It might have been my favorite part of the episode.
It was great.
The producers this season have been the best people to watch. Like, everything between Champagne Gate and all that stuff. Like, they're the fifth character.
Yes, so hard. But it was great.
It was awesome.
And then we immediately go back to the hotel, which usually we see, which we did see.
We were robbed of the morning after.
Yeah, the morning.
I know. We didn't see them in the bed. You think it's because Hannah Ann, like, didn't have makeup on?
No,
oh, she definitely had her makeup on.
They give them a heads up. They let them change. Like, I don't know. I was annoyed by this. We sacrificed that for just the same
conversation
about how it's awkward. And then, I don't know, Hannah Ann comes in and it's still awkward. And she's like, they're like, how did it go? And she's like, yeah, really well.
Oh, that's it.
And then Victoria F. leaves, which also I don't think this is quite an accurate portrayal of time because usually they do have like a production reset day in between.
Yeah. So she's like, getting ready for my sex date.
Like, I don't think it's like that immediate, but.
No, we
whatever.
They probably
were like, can you leave the room and pretend like you're about to go on?
Peter, even though we know he can handle 4 times, there's a refractory period, and he might need a little bit of time.
Yeah. Also, like, give people a chance to, like, really get in
like,
the shower.
Soak off.
Like, have some breathing room. My God.
My God. That's so
use some disinfectant.
Yes.
But she's ready for her sex date.
Victoria is off. And they start this date off with him trying to kind of be like, let's put all of our conflict aside. I thought it was interesting that he kind of apologized to her again.
Yeah.
for the parent stuff, which I guess I get, because like maybe that terrible conversation last week would have been better not on her parents' stoop.
In the driveway.
Yeah. Super awkward.
I will say that at least during that conversation, like their initial conversation of him being like, I'm fighting for you too, it did seem like had a little bit more meat to it than him and Hannah Ann's conversation, which was just like,
yes.
I think you're wonderful. I think you're wonderful. Like, it was a little bit more interesting because Victoria's so dramatic that
thought this date was more interesting.
It was. Yeah, it certainly was. It had more substance to it. In theory.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which Peter thinks, though, this relationship has the most substance because it's been challenging.
Which is
and
amazing.
Crazy.
Yes. And that's such a problematic trope, and I think we see it on the show a lot. They're like, well, if we've had a lot of conflict very early on, that must mean that we really care.
Right.
And I'm like, sometimes it's just an indication that this isn't a good match.
Yeah.
I also, side note, Victoria F., wearing a lot of Reformation. I'm here
really
for it.
She really is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Second week in a row, I noticed. I was like, that's a Reformation top, and it's cute.
It is
I
cute.
I have a dress in that exact fabric.
I don't mind her style either.
No,
it's not
she
bad.
Has good style.
She has good style.
She has good style. She, like, other problematic things.
Yes.
But the
her
style
personality
is
an issue, but her style is great.
Exactly. So they get to go on a helicopter ride. This also seemed kind of cool.
Yes.
They see this like gorgeous waterfall, and Peter's like, well, maybe we should check it out.
Yeah, let's go step right on that waterfall.
As if that wasn't planned, and all the cameras are already there,
yeah,
like
the
ready for them.
Is...
Yeah, right, exactly.
He's like, yeah, you know, everything is just so perfect about my relationship with Victoria, except, you know, communicating.
Yeah. Which is, like, the one thing you might need to make
like
a lasting marriage.
Well, I mean, it's not like you're having sex, so I don't...
But
not even, like, the sex is great.
No.
Like,
but even, like, the Hunter
so what
Hayes,
is great
like,
about this?
You know, I don't want easy, I want crazy. It defines their entire relationship.
Yeah.
Like, he's just in it because it's not boring. That's it. Like, it's not stable.
No.
It's just not, it's not boring.
And
it's
I
dramatic.
Do think we see little moments. When, you know, we've seen a couple times, like, in the credit sequences. They clearly have, when they're having fun, they have an
you
ability to
it.
Really have fun together.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're genuinely, like, laughing and giggling.
Yeah.
And, like, I get that.
So I think there is, like, really a chemistry there.
Yeah.
But if you don't know how to communicate with someone, it's probably not a good sign.
Yeah.
Correct. Especially this early on.
Right. It's not like, oh, we've been together for 2 years and now we're having at a sticking point in communicating about this issue we can't agree on.
Right. It's like eighth date and we can't seem to
have
ever.
A conversation.
We're just fighting.
Yes, exactly. Meant to be on The Bachelor World. Meant to be.
But she's
Victoria,
like,
though, seems to have really turned a corner and is really into Peter now.
Yeah.
She's in love with him.
Yeah.
She's in love with him. I think I can safely
say
that.
We hear her say that, too.
Yes.
And she's like, I love him so much.
I put
him through so much.
I was really struck by Victoria. Like, all I was thinking, and my friend and I, who I was watching with last night, were saying, we were like, she just really seems like someone who needs a lot of therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she needs a lot of therapy, and I think she's a little crazy.
And I say that as someone who, like, I think everyone needs therapy. So it's not like a dig, but it just, there's things that feel like they're being worked out in an unproductive way in the setting of the show that.
Well, like, anytime he brings up something or, like, you know, shares something with her that she might not agree with or she feels uncomfortable with, she, like, completely becomes combative. Like, she just immediately fights him.
She is ripe for Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah.
Like, drama and
dramatic.
Like, she is perfect for it. Yeah. And I feel like the producers now are being like, I hope he doesn't beg her. She'd be great for it. Like, she's that right amount of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Instability, if you will.
Absolutely. And then Pete, of course, they keep talking. He says he feels horrible that he didn't get to meet her family. But Victoria says Pete, again, checks all the boxes for someone she wants to spend the rest of her life with. And he seems to love the craziness that comes along with their relationship. So
he does.
They are ready
for
the night portion of this date.
Long night.
Meanwhile, back at the hotel.
Same shit.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh, is this what?
No, no. You know what?
This one's a little deeper.
I spoke too soon.
Yeah.
This is the interesting interlude.
Yes. This is Hannah and Maddie talking.
What's also interesting is that all three of the remaining women do seem to generally get along with each other.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a lot of... I think Victoria judges the other two pretty harshly.
Victoria seems like a little bit more on the... Like, Hannah, Anne, and Madison seem to have more of a friendship.
But
they seem, like, friendly.
If you look at their Instagrams, they're all commenting on each other.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot more like a lot less bad blood than the
show is making
show
it out to
has,
be.
Yeah, made yeah. it out to
I will
be.
Say at the beginning, I interviewed a lot of the contestants that, you know, voted off, or not voted off, but like got off early. And I asked them, like, who's your favorite? Who do you love? And every single person said Madison. They were like, she's genuinely the nicest human in the world. Yeah. So it's like, even though she has these weird things, I feel like she's so sweet that they like her.
And yeah,
like,
I've gotten a few DMs about Madison. All of them have been pretty positive.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. So Madison and Hannah Ann sit down and chat, and clearly Madison has spoken to all the other women about the fact that she is saving herself for marriage. Mm-hmm. And so they seem to know that that's the thing she wanted to talk to Peter about.
Right.
So my read on it was that Victoria and Hannah Ann assumed that was what Maddie had talked to Peter about.
Yeah. Right. And that was why she was anxious. Yeah.
Yes. It's not what she talked to him about. And Madison kind of says to Hannah Ann, you know, I said I have high standards, but I didn't really totally talk about what I'm doing for me. I told him that him sleeping with someone else makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which still isn't clear, because that's obvious.
But also, I think this was like really. But keep in mind, the women have a lot more context for why Madison feels this way.
Yes,
and
yes.
They know that this is a really big deal to her, and that this is based in her faith and her kind of identity.
Yeah, right.
And understandably, Hannah Ann is really put off by this. Like, I think it was a tactical error. A lot of these happening this episode, for Madison to share that with Hannah Ann, because what she is saying, I know it's not how she intended it, but what she is saying is, I told the guy you're dating not to be physically intimate with you.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I drew a boundary and, you know,
if he
laid
breaks,
my relationship on what he experiences with you.
With you and Victoria. Right. Yeah.
And that would suck to hear.
Yeah. Yes.
Especially after she already had her date.
Yeah.
So, like, she knew what happened between them.
I know. You could tell she was like, you're going to be upset about this one.
Yeah. And she says to the camera, you know, I'm really thrown off, and we knew what we signed up for. So this is kind of madness.
I will give Hannah Ann credit for saying that, being so young, being like, yes, you knew. Like,
this
again,
is the 24th
structure. Season. Like, everyone's aware that this is going down.
And
like,
again, no fault to Maddie for wanting or expecting certain things out of a long-term relationship, especially someone that she thinks she may marry.
Yes.
Like, I get that. But
in this environment,
you're
not going
to get
that.
Give enough credit to
it's also
to
his
what
journey.
Peter needs.
Yes.
And also what the other women who are in this need. And so there's just a fundamental conflict here. And I was sort of like, oh, my God, is Hannah Ann suddenly the voice of reason?
Yeah, like, when did that happen?
Oh, yeah, right. So I think it's, like, the only thing I tweeted last night.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we break down a whole lot more from Episode 9 of The Bachelor.
Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit. And I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Before we get back to the show, and in case you need more Bachelor content, of course you do, check out Reset, a tech podcast by Vox. Earlier this week, I got to join the show to talk all about how influencer culture has merged with the world of The Bachelor. It was a lot of fun, and I think you guys will enjoy it. So check that out. And now, back to the fantasy suite dates. And then we cut back to the night portion of Victoria's date.
Yes. And Pete feels good about their date. They have dinner on a wooden platform in the palms.
Looked very lovely.
Very pretty.
Looked nice. Yeah.
Looked good production value there.
Yeah. They cheers to each other, showing so much fight and not giving up.
That's right.
But this date seems much better than some of their past ones.
Absolutely.
No, totally.
And Victoria's clearly steeled herself. She's like, we got to talk about communication.
Yes.
It goes okay. She kind of attempts to explain herself. She says, you know, I think that part of the reason I react poorly when you ask about my feelings and sort of press me on why is that I was in a relationship for 3.5 years during which I was never asked about my feelings. So, like, I read that as you believing something's wrong with me. And so I get defensive. And that sort of made sense to me.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think there's things that probably Victoria should work out off of national television.
Yes. Yes.
But he is like, I need to understand more, and keeps pressing it. And she doesn't really have a good answer to give him.
Yeah.
No.
And then she seems to realize that she gets frustrated because she feels like she's not giving him what he wants.
Yeah. Which she does often. Like, she seems to. And then he's trying to, like, talk her off the ledge. Like, no. Like, let's go back. Like, let's try to work through this. Because she's kind of resorting to what she always does, which is like run away.
Yeah, and she did that actually one of the things. I mean, like, I do give him credit for pushing her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for being like, don't run.
Yeah.
Let's work this out no matter what it is. Like, because that's real. Like, I think in any actual relationship, the first instinct is to be like, I don't want to fucking deal with this. Let's run.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of nice to see this
play out. No, he is mature in that way.
In that way.
He's like, he's not running away from the conflict. He's kind of trying to pull it out of her.
Yeah.
I think he is someone who, I also give him credit for this. Like, he's willing to talk things through.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He wants someone. And I love that he laid out, you know, if I say something that lands with you poorly, I need you to tell me that.
Yeah,
I need you to use your words, and then we can together see if we can come to a different conclusion.
Yeah, and I can rework what I'm trying to say.
And that is a thing that happens in real, like, you are going to trigger each other in opposite ways sometimes. Because people, like, bring their own life experiences into a relationship. They bring their own baggage and their own reactions.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't reset and talk about why that happened, that's a really big problem.
Yeah. Like, context and intentions matter a lot.
Yes.
And you have to be willing to talk about your side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Learning so much about relationships.
No, wow.
This is a relationship podcast.
Always from The Bachelor.
It's deep.
We're just living
out here, living life, loving to live.
But of course, he says their chemistry is insane.
It is.
And it gives him 100% confidence that he can always count on her.
Oh, he's too much of a people pleaser. He's giving too much reassurance to all of these women. And Victoria's like all in. She's like, I just know that you're good, and I know that you're good for me, and I want to be good for you.
And you know, Peter was just like, yes.
Yum, yum, yum. Yeah, right.
Yeah, buddy.
That's what he
you
needs.
You are good for me.
And so he gives her that fantasy suite date card. And
does she say?
She's like, hell yes.
Yeah, I know. I kind of like that she was, I was like, yeah, Peter, no
shit. I love how they still do this.
Also,
most of them are just going to say yes.
Also, it's important to remember that it's not just like time to have sex. It's like literally time to talk about the things that you don't want
to
have on camera.
Totally.
You have the whole night to talk.
You need this time.
Yes. Yes. It's a must.
They don't sleep.
Especially because she didn't get parent time. Right. Then, like, there's a double down on this.
Right. They need to talk about their family. I'm sure there's many things they need to talk about that they don't want to hash out on camera.
Yeah.
Which, fair enough. And we do actually get, you know, some morning time the next morning. I mean, the rest of the date, it's like, whatever. We see it's a second-rate hotel room. I thought Hannah Ann's was better, but... But we do get some really sweet, cuddly morning time. Yep. Seems like things went
progressed.
Well.
Yes.
And that's when, too, when we see Victoria before they go to sleep or whatever they're doing. She cries to the camera and says she's so grateful and lucky. And that's when she says she loves him so much.
So much. This made me kind of sad. She's like, I didn't know someone could be so good.
That felt real.
It felt real. And I felt kind of sad in that moment. I'm like, oh,
she's definitely like, had some.
I don't think you've had relationships where you felt seen or where you felt like you were with someone who was kind. And like that makes me sad.
It was also kind of an acknowledgement of her own drama and crazy where she's like, I literally have put him through a lot
through
of
hell. And she says that multiple times.
And and she says it multiple times. And I think it was a projection of her past relationships onto him. And so she has a little bit more of awareness now than she did maybe four episodes ago.
Oh, yeah. She seems much more comfortable.
Yes.
I still think, to be clear, we all agree, like, this is not a good relationship.
No. Correct. No. But it's, like, nice to see you discovering a little bit of who you are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Then back at the hotel, Maddie is, of course, pacing. And she's freaking out.
Because she knows, like, her relationship
like
is riding on.
And she gives this quote, too, that was like, it's black and white. It's a black and white situation. With hearts full, hearts are either full or full of heartbreak. And I was like,
interesting.
Like, this is not a test that is wise to set up.
Yeah.
Right. No.
So you're not giving him an ultimatum, but you're kind of are giving him an ultimatum. It is
in effect an ultimatum. I don't think, and we'll get into this, like, I don't think it's like a situation where she's shaming him and I don't think she wants to be giving him an ultimatum, but that is just like sort of the situation they're in. So, you know, while we go back to the hotel and Madison and Hannah Ann are discussing the awkwardness and her conversation with Peter, it seems like this is actually the same conversation that had happened before. I believe that they were in the same outfits.
Yeah.
Like they spliced it up so that it looked like they were having a few separate conversations. Yeah. But I think this was all
the same
at one time. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Victoria comes in and Hannah Ann's like, wow, you look so skinny, which gross.
I know.
A skinny should not be
You're so pretty. Like, you're so skinny.
In those 20 seconds, I was like, this is what girls do, like when they're so uncomfortable with each other. And
they don't
just,
know what
like,
else to say.
They over-compliment. Yeah. Like, oh my God, you look so beautiful.
It's a
you look
total
so skinny. And you're like,
23-year-old Instagram model compliment.
And she's like, thanks. I look like I'm a mess. Because she's in leggings and full makeup.
Oh,
and
she's
a
leggings.
I'm a mess.
She looked real hot.
Yeah.
All casual.
They all do.
They
all do all the time.
Yes. They couldn't look bad if they dressed.
Yes.
You know, Maddie just gets up and walks away after this.
I love it.
Yeah, because she said it was productive.
She's like, it was a productive date.
Right.
To Maddie, that means,
we did it.
Yeah.
So Maddie gets up and walks away, and Hannah Ann and Victoria are like, why is she being... This felt very real. They're like, why is she being weird? What's going on? Like, again, we know that this is what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
But the women are never placed in this situation. So, yeah, it is going
to
be weird.
They never have to face each other.
Oh, it's mean. Right. It's mean.
But Maddie's making it even weirder for them by getting up and just pacing around the room.
Without explanation.
Yeah.
Victoria, her favorite face of mine is when she keeps her face, like, completely straight to you, but then just moves her eyes. So she's like, like, all the time in, like, judgment. She doesn't know what's going on. I'm like, that's so good.
Yeah.
I love
it. She does have good reactions.
She does.
There's been a lot of good reaction shots this season.
Oh, yeah.
Awkward.
Hannah Ann has good ones, too.
Yeah.
So then we move on to the Madison date, the real meat of the episode. And Peter, he's like, I'm so giddy around
you could just
Madison.
See his
I
mood
love
shift.
He loves her the most.
Yeah.
He loves this to work. The most.
And
we
they're
can
like,
tell.
I missed you. They just miss you. They truly miss each other when they reunite. It's cute. But you're also like, this is just not going to work out.
No.
And it feels like
No.
So I think they had the worst date of the three, the least fun
We got
one.
This, like, usually this adrenaline rush date is way earlier in this season. This isn't like really, like...
Right.
They were trying to provoke some sort of emotional reaction, mm-hmm. which is usually what the adrenaline date is used mm-hmm. for.
Right.
So they take them up to... They take the two of them up to a very tall building and are,
Sky
like...
Sky Point?
Climb
Did you ever go
the
there?
Stairs.
No, I didn't. I wouldn't, though. It looked terrifying.
Yeah, it looked, like, way, I, like, too scary actually, for me.
I did, like, cliff diving and stuff, but that looked, like, crazy.
Cliff diving.
I know. My standards are crazy. But they learn to trust each other.
They sure do.
Rise to new heights.
Yes.
This is when we got a lot of phrases. Ugh. Everything worthwhile is uphill. It's got to come with a struggle.
Right. It's worth the view at the end, you know.
It's all worth it.
We're like, we gotta...
It's like, there's never been a metaphorical date, like, so obvious yeah. than this one. It's, like, heavy in the allegory. It's
very
just nuts.
Heavy. But it kind of works. I mean, Madison says, you know, she can see Peter as the father to her future children. She's suddenly turned a corner and is in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they make out very intensely at the top of this
They're,
yes,
like,
spire.
They're, in it.
Yes.
Like, they're... Faces are in each other's mouths.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Whole head in mouth. Although,
I have seen some head movements I have not seen on this show.
I do. I learned so much.
Yeah.
I do believe, like, that when Madison says that she sees Peter as her husband, like, it's the most genuine statement of the three. Like, if all three of them said that, I think I'd believe Madison the most.
Yeah.
Because she knows that divorce is not an option, whereas I think the other two are like,
yeah.
Like, it could be an option. It's fine.
She's taking it all slowly.
I believe Madison
and...
believes she's ready for marriage and wants to do that. I totally believe that.
Yes.
You know, but of course.
Whether or not she is another question.
She's also still
it.
Nervous. She's in love with him, but she's still nervous, which makes sense. And back at the hotel, we see Hannah Ann recounting to Victoria what Maddie had told her. And she sort of dances around it, but then says that, you know, look, Madison outlined her, quote, expectations for Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria F. is pissed.
Yeah. She's not happy.
She's like, that's basically an ultimatum.
That's
kind of fucked up.
Right.
Which I get why she feels that way.
Yeah. It's not a fair situation to put Peter in, which is the truth.
And it affects them.
And she doesn't want him to feel bad about decisions that he made.
Totally.
Right.
Everything she's saying here is
You don't
want to
be looking back on your date and being like, oh, he's going to feel guilty and associate shame now with the fact that we had sex or that we were physically intimate in another way.
Yeah, like, you don't want him to, like, regret that.
Yeah,
because
that
of
feels
Madison's,
crappy.
Yes, because it's, I mean, he even admits later on they were intimate. Like, he has had intimate whatever. Yes.
So we then cut to the night portion of the date. And Madison's, like, clearly geared herself up for a big conversation.
Yeah.
She knows, and I feel for her. Like, she knows she has to kind of be really straightforward and really get the information she needs to make this decision.
She looks beautiful.
Oh, this
sparkly
mini dress. So good.
I was like, I'd wear that. Yeah. Like, I thought, that's
good.
A nice dress. That's
her
a nice
style
dress.
Is great.
She's great.
I continue to be a big fan of her and Victoria's styles. And Peter's like, I'm in love with Madison. I want to get closer with her, you know. And he also comes into this dinner a little bit anxious because he knows that she's not going to be pleased. I don't think he understands that it's a real deal breaker for her, but he knows that this is going to be not a fun conversation.
Yeah. He also wants to be respectful to the other women, which which I give
him
credit for.
I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
And that is part of why I thought that this put him in a really crappy position.
Mm-hmm.
Because
totally.
It put him in a position to share details about his relationships with other people
women.
Without their consent.
Yeah. Yes.
And that
and he was,
feels gross.
And he felt, you could see that he was trying to do the right
thing. Right things.
I do think he handled it in the best way possible.
He was trying to tell Madison, like, I
was intimate, but I'm not going to give you the details, and I don't owe you that in that way. Like, it's not fair to the other women.
I don't think he does owe her that.
No.
Like, he didn't say...
But
what
he doesn't
that intimacy
want to
meant.
Steer her wrong.
Right, he also doesn't want to lie to her.
Right.
I thought, again, everyone was just kind of in a bad position.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Sort of their own making.
Correct. Or Madison's making.
And the show's making. So they cheers. He's like, I'm crazy for you, which, again, he said to several other women at this point.
Yeah, he's crazy for everybody.
Yes.
Everybody's perfect.
Yeah,
everybody's
right.
Living life.
I can see them as my wife.
And Peter clears his throat and starts. He's like, so... I just want to start off being very honest with you. Honestly, Maddie, I've been going through a lot this week because of what you did say to me. I know a lot of this revolves around the whole intimacy thing, and I've been torn because I do have two other relationships right now. Mm-hmm. And she says, yeah, I get it, but, like, I walked away from that conversation really discouraged. She says she really didn't want to make it seem like an ultimatum, mm-hmm. and she's sorry if it came off that way, if she didn't show him more of her heart. Again, another evangelical euphemism. Mm-hmm. And she wants to be really honest tonight. And this is where she kind of lays it out. She says, Peter, growing up, I made a commitment to myself. Mm-hmm. She decided that she wanted to save herself for marriage. And for her, she sees it that as the day that she says I do is the day that he's getting all of me, mind, you know, body, soul, and spirit. I'm his. And she says, you know, I expect us both to be honest about the expectations we have.
Yeah.
And I respected this.
Yeah.
I respected that she laid it out. I think it would have better served both of them if that these things had been clear a little earlier.
I was going to say, this was the first time she's actually concise and clear with what she wants.
I thought she said what she needed to say beautifully, but it just is a little too late.
The timing is
tough. It's four roses too late, I got to be honest.
And he's had two other dates before this.
Yeah. Right.
So...
And you can see him, like, realize, oh, crap, what she just told me a few days ago means
this
so
thing that was
much
different.
More than I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
He says, you know, I respect the hell out of you. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Which
hell.
I was like, not the hell. This is an evangelical woman
I know,
right here.
And you could tell Madison's
She's like, hell, the devil.
Yeah.
Also, I think we touched on this another episode about whether it seems like Madison doesn't drink, which is interesting that they haven't. Said that, but her wine glass was filled with water last night.
Mm-hmm. I kind of love that.
I completely respect it. We've seen other people come in and not drink. Taylor Nolan was very clear about the fact that she does not drink. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was interesting that it hasn't been explicitly mentioned because usually they only get
one interesting fact, and hers is a virgin.
Yeah.
You know, we can't have her be a virgin and a teetotaler too. That's too much.
Virgin daiquiris.
Yes.
Virgin daiquiris only.
Yes. Exactly.
So, you know, Peter says, I think that's beautiful and that's not the same as me. We're mm-hmm. different.
Right.
And I think that we don't have to be the same. And I also kind of loved that. He's like, but what does this mean for what you expect from me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are the
Again,
expectations
Again, this is the conversation that probably should have been had before. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
He's like, you know, I think we can be different, but do you? And she says, I don't think I could say yes to an engagement if you've slept with the other women. I'm, and obviously a lot of Luke P. Associations came up because of this. I do think that I see why people were drawing those comparisons, but I think that the context is important and it's very different in the fact that Luke P. was being very manipulative
well,
and threatening.
He's also not a virgin.
Yeah.
And also, what he said was he
doesn't count.
He was calling, you know, if she had sex with other people, that those would be mistakes, that she would have fallen off her moral path
her.
In some way.
Yeah. Yes.
It was very judgmental. It was very...
He imposed his path onto her.
Right.
Madison's not doing that with
Peter. Madison's trying very hard not to do that.
Correct.
You know, she even says very clearly, I'm not trying to hold this over your head. I'm not trying to be judgmental. But that's what I expect out of... my engagement out of my life.
Right.
And what she's saying is, she was like, I don't want to get engaged to someone who had sex with another woman six days.
I think no one wants to, but that's the show.
And I think he was like, I understand that.
But it's the show.
But it's the show. Yeah. And that's what we are.
That's what you're working
that's
with.
That's the timeline.
So yeah, you're not in the real world right now, Madison. So it's just like, that's what's tough is like, you understand her point of view, but you're also like, maybe this isn't the right outlet.
Also, there's a reason that most people don't have these conversations about what did or did not happen in the fantasy suite until after they're with someone.
Right, mm-hmm. right. I mean, and I was texting my girlfriend as this was going, and she was like, how's it going? I was like, oh, one of the women, you know, like, put this blah, 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 doesn't want him sleeping. She's like, well, that's all right. I was like, IRL, totally fine. Like, in real life, not an issue. You go on a show, which, again, the formula's out there. Like, you don't really get to have that luxury. Like, come on now, you know? We all have certain expectations. Like, don't go on a reality show about mm-hmm. finding love in 8 weeks.
Yeah.
If you're not ready to make the sacrifice to find love in 8 weeks.
And again, it's not fair to Peter.
Right, that also includes literally a fantasy suite.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's tough. Again, I don't judge anyone for their beliefs about sex or what they want out of a partner or what, you know. But everyone is being put in a kind of shitty position here.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yes.
And Peter's face just darkens at this. You know, he's like,
sunken.
I hear what you're saying, but I can't share details about what happened with other people. And she's like, I'm not asking for details, but I also need them.
Yeah, right. And I was like,
she's like,
okay.
But I need.
I'm like, Madison,
blank,
you kind of yeah. are. Like, I understand that she's pained about it, and she's. I understand that she doesn't want anyone to be in the position that they're in, but that is the position.
Yeah.
That we're
she's
in.
She's in essence putting him in.
Correct. Yeah.
Because how can she move forward without the information?
But she needs that to
but
make a decision.
But how can he respect the other women
if
when
she wants
he's giving
those
the
details.
Information?
Yeah.
Like, right. So he sort of hedges, and you know, she's like, I don't want to feel like a bad person. She says I've had to look through a lot of things. I've sacrificed a lot. I've compromised a lot. I've pushed myself, and this is not one thing that I can.
I'm not compromising on.
Compromise on.
Which I thought that was like, this is when I got a little emotional. I was like, this is so rough because I did believe what she was saying.
Totally.
Was like, I've made so many sacrifices for you because I really care about you, but this is something that I just can't budge on. Like, this is.
And it was compelling because it's a conflict you might see arise in real life.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, where people might avoid a topic because they don't want it to be something that is a deal breaker. But in reality, like, different religious beliefs, different political beliefs, there are. Certain ways that people might not be able to compromise and still stick to what they actually want out of a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can really have chemistry with someone and in a controlled environment, really feel for them and still not be compatible.
Correct. Especially because it's not real life and you need time to
really
right. like. And also, keep in mind, people change in relationships. Like,
yes.
I've been dating my girlfriend for 5 years. I'm not the same person I was when I was 26. Yeah. Now that I am at 32. Like, it's just a my values are the same, but I've changed my theory on maybe, you know, a lot of different things. And, like, you have to let relationships kind of grow. You're never going to be able to get that in a 10-week span or
no.
whatever, you know?
It's just a really, it's a tough thing.
Yes.
And Peter tries to respond, and he clearly realizes, okay, I need to give her enough of an answer, but I don't want to give any details about what happened with the individual women. So he sort of hedges and says vaguely, like, I don't want this to be all about sex, but I do want to be honest. I have been intimate, and I can't lie to you about that.
I give him credit for saying that.
So
I felt like that was the best way to satisfy all parties while still being fairly respectful.
Because it's not clear, like, who knows what that means.
Intimacy does not equal sex.
It also doesn't, like, we can assume that it means he slept with at least one of them, but we don't know.
We don't know.
He didn't name details.
I gave him a lot of credit for it. I thought he handled it the best way.
This is a tough situation.
I think there was no good way to handle it, and this was the best way.
Yes.
But he says he can 100% see them together in the end, but he has to be honest with her that he can also, at the start of this week, see himself with the other two, and he needed to explore all of the relationships. But then Madison, like, after she hears that he was intimate, she just has to get up.
Yeah, she's like, I can't.
Yeah.
And I felt bad, but,
and they're both, like,
says,
crying. Like, he's crying at the table.
She's
crying
outside.
Yeah.
I took a little bit issue with her saying that she felt like he let her down.
Yeah.
I get why she felt that way, but I didn't. Again, I struggle with feeling that perhaps she was putting it was an unfair ask a little bit.
Also, like we were saying earlier, she wasn't clear when she told him in
also
the airplane hangar what her expectations were or what, like, she didn't really tell him the full truth.
Right.
I get
so she can't really be let down because he didn't really understand.
Totally.
Like,
look, you would hope that he would just have known. It's you, so
I'm not going to sleep with the other woman.
What is tactically smart to preserve our relationship,
right,
which is just not go there.
Yeah.
Alas.
He didn't have certainty. Peter is such a people pleaser, and he is bad at making decisions.
Yeah.
So this should surprise no one.
Correct.
And he's sexual. Like, if you put this guy in a fantasy suite,
he's going to have sex.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Like,
sexual chemistry, look, it's important to me, too.
It is.
If I sleep with someone and it's terrible, that matters.
It's gonna make you feel a certain way about it. Right.
So he was allowed, of course, in this situation, but he should be allowed to explore with the other women in that way because he hasn't had that chance.
It's his journey.
Right. Exactly. It's not hers.
Right.
The problem is they're both allowed to have whatever feelings they have about sex and what they want.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is not a relationship that is ultimately compatible. I don't think their religious beliefs align.
No. Agreed.
And I think that is a real issue for Madison. I think Peter being more open and less religious is sort of open to like moving the needle one way or the other.
Yeah.
But Madison really needs someone who's committed to faith in the same way that she is.
Right. Which is heavy.
And I don't think that's Peter.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's clear they really want to be with each other.
Yeah, they want but I think she's his number one.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, it's so sad.
I know.
It's so rough. All I wrote down was like, this is so rough. She says she can't change who she is and what she believes and what she stands for and what she needs.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want to feel bad for having that and believing that. And so she's torn between what she knows she needs and how she feels about him. And he just starts begging. He's like, I'm not perfect. I'm not even close.
Don't walk away.
Yeah. Don't leave me. Aww. Like, I've hurt you and I'm sorry. Please don't walk away from this.
I'm getting teary-eyed.
I mean, I will say that was like a real conversation.
It was.
I've been there too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want you to walk away, but like, you know, there's no way to make this work. There's literally none. She either has to compromise who she is as a person, which clearly he doesn't want.
Yeah.
Or they can't be together.
Because
he's clearly been intimate with other two women and we can't erase that.
Yeah.
He's made that decision and there's no going back on that.
And I don't know what he could say. Like, he would have to really do a disservice to the other women and say some pretty disrespectful things to them.
Yes.
To even, like, oh, this was a massive mistake and I've been morally not right in doing this.
Right.
Like, that is...
That's a lot. That's and a, I don't think he feels
think he
that
believes
way.
That.
Exactly.
No.
And I don't either. But in order to get Madison, he has to own up to that, and for better or for worse. And there's just no chance he's going to do that.
No.
I hope.
I agree.
Yeah.
And so she ends up walking away, and they just both look devastated.
Yeah.
And then we cut to a very silly credit scene of Peter looking for monkeys and then Victoria like accidentally scaring the shit out of him.
He's like, why was I that was one of those, scared? I thought that was cute, though.
That was one of the moments you see them. Yeah.
Okay, this is still The Bachelor.
Yeah.
We're still like, okay, this is
and
good.
And it was,
like,
again, one of those moments where you're like, oh, I get that he and Victoria have a good time together. Yeah.
Yes, they're goofy. And I appreciate that because goof and making each other laugh is actually more important than anything
important.
Else.
Very important.
Yeah. So,
and we get a teaser, too, for...
Where's Madison?
Where's Madison? What,
okay.
The two women are standing there.
Both of your predictions.
I think Madison doesn't show up because I think that she's so, like, distraught about what to do. And I think that's where the whole mother comes, like, he's talking to his family, maybe, or he wants, you know, and that's when the mother's like, bring her home, Peter, like a horse, like, bring her home. I think that's who they're talking about.
Yeah.
I think it's talking about
her.
He
also can't make a decision. He can't send one of the other two home unless he knows Madison is leaving or not.
And, like, is still an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you send one home, you only got one left.
Exactly. So. And they're like, well, here I am. Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen.
Nick Vile tweeted like a great prediction.
Oh, yeah.
That was
he had
so
a good
into.
Tweet.
So
a good
he
theory.
Thinks Madison's going to leave.
Yeah.
He says he thinks Victoria F's going to go home first.
Yes.
Madison's going to leave.
Yeah.
Then Peter's going to realize Hannah Ann is his person. And then right before he proposes, Madison's going to come back, which is a cool twist on the idea of Madison leaving and coming back, which I do think is going to happen.
That could be cool. That would make sense, too. I think Victoria is going to be the first of the three if all three are viable.
I agree.
Yes.
I think I suspect that Victoria
she's too old for him.
Yeah. She doesn't live with her parents anymore. It's a real problem. I think she's going to go home.
Also, Hannah Ann and Madison are kind of like spitting images of each other. Like, if they were lesbians, they'd have the old trope of, like, you're dating someone that looks like you? Because I'm like, they look the exact same to me. Like, they're the same type of person. Like, they're just two sides of a different coin. I don't know. It would make sense Victoria would go home first.
Yeah.
But I definitely think the parents are talking about Madison.
See, Nick says that maybe Maddie comes back, but then Peter's confused again. Then he sends Maddie home. And then the mom's going, go get Hannah Ann, which I'm like, I wasn't even thinking that.
Oh.
I've always thought it was Madison because she went on that date with his family. Right. And so she's right, like, bring her home.
Vow renewal, which is like,
maybe it is Hannah. I know. I'm really torn now.
I think it's Madison or Hannah Ann for sure.
Oh, it's not Victoria.
Yeah. It's not Victoria.
I would bet money on that. Yeah. But
it's not Victoria.
Hannah Ann and Madison, I think, are the final two. And I think Madison is going to leave and come back in some way. But I don't know. Now I'm
timeline.
Torn.
Yeah, I don't know the timeline.
Like, does he choose?
I don't think he chooses. I think he's torn between the two of them. And I don't think he picks it.
It's not spoiled, which is great. Because someone, by this point in the season, has always freaking tweeted at me the
prediction.
The spoilers.
That's why I don't think he's picked. And that's why I think maybe the Nick Vial tweet about the timeline makes sense. Where he's like kind of ready for Hannah Ann. And then Madison throws herself into the picks. And he's like, well, now that she's viable again and could get over this,
I need more time.
I need more time. Yes.
Oh,
I think it's clear that
I think he might choose like
phase.
After, you know, the season ends.
I think he chooses after the final rose.
Yes.
Or like whatever the final rose would be.
We're going to get the tape that's like Peter knocks on someone's door and we're waiting to see who it is.
Yes.
Oh, I will love that.
Actually be the most dramatic season ever.
It'll
probably
be
lie to us this
be
time.
The only good part of the season.
Yes. I
spoiler
agree
free is so nice though.
How great is
that? Also, I'm already dreading Women Tell All. Apparently Kelly was not invited.
They filmed it last Friday. She was not.
And Natasha was not present. So I don't know if she wasn't invited or I
couldn't
did see
make
on
it.
Instagram that like her aunt was in town. Sometimes it's just like a conflict.
They film it in LA.
And they schedule it pretty last minute.
But to not have Kelly, like, do we know a reason?
Well, I know because she was top five. Like
Natasha was top six. Like, so you're missing like the two people who I actually really would have liked to
hear. And in the promo, Chris says, all your favorite women are back. And I was like, have you watched this season? Like,
you're
none
like,
of these women
my,
are.
My two favorite aren't there.
Yeah, I would prefer Kelly over Kelsey or any one of them. Like, I wanted Kelly the most because she's got the best perspective.
Yeah.
Guys, I just am really praying to the Bachelor gods that none of these women are Bachelorette.
I think they're going to try to sell Kelsey to us,
but I don't want that. No. I like Kelsey, but I don't think it would be a great season. Go back to the archives. Get a Kendall season.
I would love
her. She's a weirdo.
I stan her so
I don't know
hard.
If she... Will she be ready, though, is the thing.
Ah,
it seemed like her and Joe were like...
She's fine.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Darren, for
coming
in.
I love being here.
Thanks for being here.
Love talking about this stuff with you guys. Thanks for having me.
And now it's time for Feminism Fails, which we didn't really have many this time.
Nope.
First, Hannah Ann calls Victoria so skinny when she walks in after a date. We're going to give this one a 3. I know the intentions were good, but commenting on someone's body and framing skinny as the equivalent of beautiful just perpetuates a lot of really negative ideas about how women need to take up space and look in order to be considered, you know, acceptable by society. Mm-hmm. And that just sort of like raised some red flags for me.
Yeah. And I know it was like an awkward moment for these women, but it's not great to just throw out a phrase like that to fill the silence. And next we have Madison saying she didn't need details about Peter's nights with the other women. But then she asked for the details, forcing Peter to divulge his intimate moments. You know, I'm going to give this a 3.5. Maddie, clearly, you know, it's a complicated situation with Madison and Peter and then involving the other women. But it's not right to have, you know, give someone an ultimatum and then kind of force him to share private experiences with other women and then therefore
without their consent.
Yeah. Share information that they did not give consent to share.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our wonderful guest, Darren Karp, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson. And in case you need even more Bachelor content, check out Reset, a tech podcast by Vox. Earlier this week, I got to join the show to talk about how influencer culture has infiltrated the world of The Bachelor. It was so much fun, and I think you guys might enjoy it. So check out that episode.
It was great. I loved it. And please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of Peter's season recaps and give us a 5-star rating and review.
Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Lee Blickley and at Lee BZ.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back next week for more Madison drama and The Bachelor's Women Tell All episode.
time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.